thing about me, no matter how bad the situation is, I'm gonna crack a little jokey joke. And you feel me? Because we depressed. I did.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
And I get on the phone with Travelocity. I call their phone. And so
Still around?
Oh, yeah. I just booked something on Travelocity the other day. Okay. I hope I can pay for it, but I just booked something on Travelocity the other day.
You don't have to pay until you check in. Great. Perfect.
Can I pay after I check out? Like a couple days after?
Yeah.
I need a couple days to pay you back. It's all good. Don't worry about it. I'm good for it.
Right.
You can use this credit card number, but don't try it right now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the wife of Jizzy Jazz Jeff, Kristen Joy Oadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you, all you Jizzle Drizzle fans out there. Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm your intrepid host, Brian Green.
This pragmatic.
Is my intrepid co-host, pragmatic. Son of a father. I'm the son of a father, the brother of a brother, the bastard of a mother. I am Brian Green. I'm here.
Yes, you are.
I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. I'm here. All right. We're going to do it. Another episode here. Back in the TCB studios, live from somewhere north of Atlanta. You guess. Don't dox me, bro. Sure. Like, this would be the easiest, probably the easiest podcast ever to dox, but I'm not going to give you any more clues. You have to figure it out by yourself. You know, scary that I was reading about, like, how the who was it, one of the Supreme Court justices, they were doxed, like they, one of the swatting or whatever they call it, like where they call the police and they say there's a shooting inside the house and the police come guns a-blazing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. Like, why in the world? I don't understand it. I don't get it. You know what else I don't get? I'm just going to say this. Like, I have to say this. I have to tell you this. I think we've reached peak idiot in this country. And I'm welcoming the tinfoil hat people back into the fold. I got to say, I don't think it's the right thing to do to then, you know, cast them off onto some island or something.
They're not looking so bad anymore.
Yeah, some of the tinfoil hat people are looking pretty sane, actually, compared to some of the stuff that's going on right now. But I have to say, even the most insanity of insanity, you can welcome back. Come on back. Like we used to say on The Commercial Break, go down the rabbit hole, we'll throw you a ladder, right? Because I am hearing the most ridiculous conspiracy theories around Taylor Swift and this and the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know the first fucking thing about football, and I will be the first to admit that. I really
well,
don't.
Well, you already did admit it when you thought the Chiefs lost.
Yeah, when I thought the Chiefs lost in the playoffs, and now it seems like they're heading to the Super Bowl despite the loss.
Exactly.
The dumbest thing I've ever said on The Commercial Break, and I so want to take that episode down, but I'm going to take it on the chin.
You gotta
I made
own
a
it.
Huge mistake, and I'm sorry about that to all the Chiefs fans or anybody out there who has any respect for NFL football. The NFL product is the most popular sport besides WWE in the world. I think WWE is the most popular sport in the world. I don't know. At least the WWE, at least you know what you're getting with the WWE. It's the most honest
football
sport.
Soccer to us.
I don't know. Anyway, in the United States, whatever. I'm not even going to pretend.
Huge.
Football, WWE, soccer, it's all huge, right? So the NFL is undoubtedly a needle pusher. Like when is this my landscapers again?
I was gonna say, hey boss. Yes,
I'm coming between 12 and 4 like you told me. No, I said please don't come between 12 and 4. Got you, boss. No problem. Next time, I make sure I do it. Unbelievable. This is like the fifth time they've been here this week also, and we have no grass. It's the middle of the fucking winter. What are you doing?
I know. I actually have mud on my car from your
From
yard.
My driveway, yes, because first of all, it's been raining for a year, and so everything is mud, and now these guys are mowing the mud. Charging me $75 every time they show up. It's fucking crazy. I gotta talk to this guy. Juan is in trouble. You're in trouble, Juan. I've played nice up until now, but now I mean business. You better set your clock correctly. This is crazy. And I mean, they're right outside the window.
Yes,
it's like they come anytime we start to press the record button.
Closer.
Yeah, I know. He's going to do it right on the window. It's unbelievable. You know how many episodes have Juan and his crew back there? All of them. It's almost Blue and Juan are the other two co-hosts of the show. It's the Blue and Juan show. You got it, boss. No problem. This guy is a rather intelligent human being. I've worked with him for a long time. I've talked to him on many occasions. I can't understand what he doesn't understand about between these hours. Please do not fucking come because it's so loud. We can hear it, and it goes on for 15 goddamn minutes.
Yeah.
God damn it. All right, I'm going to try and continue, though, because, you know,
yes.
I don't have all day to work on this fucking commercial break. I got 55 children. I got problems, okay? I got problems. Let me be louder than them. I swear to God, I want to open this window right now. Let me take a look at what's going on over here.
Oh yeah.
They're parked right in my grass, too. What's left of my grass. Thanks, Juan. You're coming to cut the grass, and you're parking in the grass. What the fuck is going on in here? What are we doing with our lives? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, trying to keep things in perspective, if that's the worst thing that happens today, it's good.
It's going to be good.
It's good.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good day. Mm-hmm. Today's been an okay day.
Yeah.
So back to Britney Spears and Taylor Swift or whatever we're talking about.
NFL.
The NFL. Okay. I am, like, this
I
is,
haven't even read, I've
okay,
seen the
Chrissy,
headlines,
let me
but
tell
I have
you.
Not delved because it's too, it does not deserve my time.
This is
read what the latest conspiracy theory is about Taylor Swift.
Well, let me tell you, this is what's going
give me
on.
Give me the cliff notes.
Some right wing, and I mean some loony toony fucking right wing pundits are out there pushing the notion that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have gotten together as part of a psyops, a psychological operation to make Joe Biden win the election. That all putting the two of the most popular and powerful things together, NFL and Taylor Swift, and one endorsement by that couple pushes everything over the edge and Joe Biden wins in a landslide.
Oh my God.
There are so many people on the internet that are freaking out about this. You know, this fucking Vinjay Ramaswamy or whatever his fucking name is.
That is a very elaborate plan.
How many NFL players, how many referees, coaches, executives, are they all laying down to the altar of Joe Biden? This is fucking insane. Did they all just sacrifice them on themselves?
Yes.
Oh, no problem. I maybe have 3 good years in the NFL. I could make it to the Super Bowl, but Joe Biden needs to win the election.
Yep, let's give it to Kelce.
Yeah, don't worry. I got
let's
your back on
Chiefs.
This one, Kelce.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their backs. Fumbling and bumbling footballs to get Joe Biden elected. Have we not any common fucking sense in our head? This conspiracy theory makes QAnon look like Cyclopedia Britannica. I mean, fucking hey, dude. This is insane. This is insane. Even right wing, I read right wing, left wing, I read all kind of news all over the board because I do not find myself to be affiliated. I do not find myself to be partial to one particular brand of politics.
Plus, it's good to know what other people are saying.
Absolutely.
That maybe is not in the same opinion of yours. So,
and even right wing news outlets are like, come on, guys. How are we supposed to win an election when this is what we're pushing?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to get through to the independents out there like Brian Greene?
Our undecideds
when this is the bullshit that we're spewing.
Yeah.
This is the bullshit that we're spewing. And this is part of the problem in the United States right now. But I say to any of you that may be believing this line of horseshit, that alien light talker makes more sense than this.
She really
honestly.
Does.
And I have to tell you right now, I welcome you back with open arms. Come back to the warm waters of common fucking sense. Because this is lunacy. It's lunacy to believe that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were put together by Big Pharma and Joe Biden to win an election. No one can keep a fucking secret. Do you think thousands and thousands of human beings are in on this and they're keeping the secret? Just think about that in your own life. How many times has your Aunt Lucy told you that Uncle Bob is fucking sticking his dick in a goat at night, and you didn't go around immediately and call your friends to tell them that Uncle Bob is fucking the local goat? This is lunacy. It's the exact same reason why we actually went to the moon. It's the exact same. I mean, it's just like, you guys, just calm down. Calm fucking down. Yes, Taylor Swift. And by the way, if you play into this, I'm going to play right-wing conservative strategist for a minute. If you play into this, you are going to anger and upset the millions and millions and millions of Taylor Swift fans, yes. And you will lose the election.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Taylor is allowed to say...
There's a lot of voting age men and women.
You know...
Swifties.
That Taylor Swift tweeted one time in 2023... Go vote. Register to vote.
Yes.
Put the link to the register. And 35,000 people signed up in that day.
Yes.
It was 11,000% upside on how many people usually register to vote on the vote.com website or whatever it was. Guys and girls, settle down. Simmer the fuck down. Whoever's going to win is going to win. That's going to be it. It has nothing to do with the NFL or Taylor Swift.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, we've got two stumbling, bumbling fucking yahoos that are going to go at each other again in 2024.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lesser of two evils again. But you guys got to say, this is craziness in its most base form. It is people literally losing their minds.
I know.
So I would like right now, right here, at this moment, I would like to endorse Frankie B for president. Because I know how important my endorsement is to the election.
Yeah, we can write him in.
You know, Robert F. Kennedy in the latest poll is still polling at 14% in a 5-way race. He's polling at 14%. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I haven't seen a fucking RFK rally or anything. I don't know what he's all about. But anyway. Can we please take it down a notch? Take it down a notch. Settle down. Let's bring it back to common sense. And you guys can come here anytime you want to. Look how commonsensical we are.
Yeah.
I'm a pragmatic pragmatist. I'm a son of a father. I come from the sperm of a nut. I mean, guys, just come back to the warm embrace of the commercial break. We're here. We talk very gently and softly to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we give words of the day.
We give words of the day, which we'll get to in just one second. I just had to get to this first because it makes me so upset.
I know.
It just drives me loony. And
I was on a whole group text last night about all this with some friends, and it's insane.
It really is. It really is. And I don't even know what to say. Okay, word of the day. Let's move on. I'll move on.
And also, cheers to them. I've been saying this since the beginning. I want Taylor to find love. I want everybody in the world to find love.
Yeah.
And I hope that they work out. I do too.
I think it's an immense amount of pressure to be in that relationship right now.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And I don't know.
But they've had some training, so.
She's had some training. Mm-hmm. He was also a very popular NFL player before Taylor, according to everyone who knows about the NFL, right? He's a very good player.
He and his brother have had the podcast for a little while.
I think there's a difference between being like the local hero of the Chiefs. And then being like a worldwide sensation.
There's no one. Like, there's nothing.
No. There's like nothing that compares to the bright light of Taylor Swift.
Yeah. At the moment, no.
She was on my list, too. I mean, I don't find her to be, like, the world's most attractive woman. That's just my own personal perspective. But I do think she's very beautiful, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's not necessarily my type. I'm sorry, Taylor, but you're not necessarily my type. But she was on my list, like my freebie list.
Okay.
With Astrid, you know, you get the list of celebrities, you get freebies. She was on my freebie list.
Okay.
Yeah. And Astrid has no fear.
We'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Taylor, when you're done with Trav, give me a call.
Yeah. You're listening.
I'm looking to get Vivek Ramaswamy elected. Let's do it together. Yeah.
Maybe you can push Frankie, you know?
Frankie for president is better than some of the options we have out there right now.
I agree.
Frankie talks a bunch of nonsense, but at least he talks in full sentences. You know what I'm saying?
Most of the time.
Without having to take three deep breaths or talk about, you know, I don't know. Trump was up there talking about debanking. Like, debanking? What is debanking? And what he said is, they want to debank you. We're going to debank you. Everybody wants to debank you. Debanking. It's debanking. It's the new word. He went on this like 5-minute rant about debanking. And everyone was like, debanking? What? What is he talking about? debanking.
It could be anything.
Yeah. But then Joe has to take three deep breaths before he says his name. He's like,
right. I know.
Joe Biden.
It's a mad, mad world.
It is. Weekend at Bernie's. That's all I can think of. All right, word of the day.
I love that movie, by the way.
Oh, it's good.
Word of the day. What is the word of the day? We need a little, I need a little sound effect.
Oh, well, let me give you a little sound effect then. What would you like?
No.
Oh, okay, not that one. All right. And now?
Okay.
Oh, well, how about this? Word of the day.
Word of the day. The word of the day today is nonage.
Nonage.
Yes.
Nonage. Okay. Mm. Nonage, I'm going to say, is a word of the Latin descendants.
That's always a good guess because almost every word comes from Latin. But it is a late Middle English word.
A Middle English word.
Yeah. It actually kind of comes more from French. But do you know what it
was? Lay down thy sword, sire, with your nonage.
It is the...
Hold on.
Okay.
In a sentence, please. In a sentence. Let's do it this way. So Brian can try and guess what the word might mean.
Okay. But then, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, it gives us some context. It's a fun game to
play. Okay, so monkeys are far more developed during nonage than human adolescents are.
Okay, so nonage then must be the period of time, like the formative years of a human being.
Yeah, period of immaturity or youth.
Oh.
Which I thought was perfect for a show again.
Awesome. Yes, all three words so far have had to do with the commercial break. So let's go back. We've got Mahomey. What is it?
Bonhomie.
Bonhomie, which means happy and delightful.
Happy and delightful.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Quintity. Yes. Quintity. Quintidian. Quintidian. That was what it was.
Quintinian.
Quintidian. Yes.
Uh-huh.
We've got that.
Which means mundane, everyday task.
That's right. That's the commercial break.
Yeah.
And you listening to the commercial break is Quintidian. Uh-huh. And now we've got nonage.
Nonage.
Which is not, gnarling on some cabbage. That is, nonage means your formative years.
Yes.
Acting like an immature prepubescent person. Mm-hmm. So the commercial, this describes a commercial
I'm
break.
I'm nonage at heart.
You're nonage at heart.
Yeah.
Yes. All my jokes are nonage. However, they are quintidian also.
Yes.
You have to do them every day.
See, look how we're just classing up the podcast.
Jeez, I never thought we'd go this direction with the show, but now we're like spreading the knowledge all across the world.
One word at a time.
How many tens of people do you think are hearing this right now going, wow, you've really expanded my nonage?
Yeah. Something to think about. It's just a little something to think about.
It is. I like it. I'm with it. I'm down with you on the word of the day thing. I think it does bring a little bit of bring.
Yes.
Nonage.
Nonage.
Brian's humor is nonage.
Exactly.
Is it an adjective?
It is a noun.
It is a noun.
Mm-hmm.
So it means so it's not
part,
so
it's
I am
part
not
of speech noun.
Okay. So mm-hmm. I am not nonage, but I had a period of time.
It's a period.
When I was nonage.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Here's another example in a sentence. The summer I spent working at the park marked my transition from nonage to adulthood.
Transition from nonage to adulthood.
Yeah.
That is where we are stuck on this show for 527 episodes. 125 fucking episodes. That's okay. I'm okay being stuck there.
I like nonage.
Yeah.
Being a little nonage. I like my nonage period here in the studio.
You know, I do have to say this real quick. I think it's time to address this. The commercial break is now part of the Odyssey family.
Yes.
And we're so excited.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. They've been so amazing.
They really have. They've been fantastic. They've
seriously,
been great.
Seriously, it's a big change.
Well, yes. But I also want to...
I won't go too far.
Yeah, I also want to say that, you know, we were part of the Libsyn family and they were wonderful also in their own way to us for years. And then now we've moved to Odyssey, which is another podcast network, very large radio company, podcast network. And they've been nothing but wonderful to us. And as was Libsyn, was nothing but wonderful to us. And so if you notice some changes on like artwork or show notes or something like that, referring to Odyssey, that's what it is. We moved from podcast network to podcast network, as middling mediocre podcasts do. So it is now the dawn of Aquarius and the dawn of Odyssey here at the
yes,
commercial
there
break.
Is the age of Aquarius.
The age of na-na-na. What's that? Check your panties. So thank you for taking on this show that's in its nonage period. We really appreciate it, Odyssey. Thank you for all of the kind yes. words and kind deeds that it took to get us over here. All of the bending over of the backwards that it took to get over here. And for you, what does this mean? Not a fucking thing. It really doesn't mean anything to you guys, but we're very bonhomie about it. Mm-hmm. And listen, as this job is Quintinian, you know, we have to push a lot of content out. And when you get some good support, that is awesome. And so we're feeling very grateful and lucky to be over at Odyssey. And we want to say thank you to Libsyn for all the Libsyn Advertisecast for all the wonderful years.
During our
nonage years of the were podcast. With yeah. Advertisecast. That's right. But now we've grown up into big boys and girls and we're over there at Odyssey.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean anything to you. You can now listen to us exclusively on the Odyssey, not exclusively, meaning you can go over there and listen to us on the Odyssey app if you choose to do that, but not much else changes with the show.
No.
Except for, you know, you might notice, like if I want to pull the curtain back a little bit, what you're going to notice is less advertisements in the show. And you're also, and so that's good for you. Mm-hmm. That's a plus for you. We'll see how it works
Sorry,
out for us.
California yeah. Border Patrol.
Sorry, Border Patrol. Yeah. Kroger. And the insurance company. But we do want to share that with you so that when you notice some things on the show notes or on the cover or art or whatever, you're like, wow, what is that? What is Odyssey? Odyssey is our new podcast. Mm-hmm.
And they have quite a few radio stations too. And I think maybe 5 here in Atlanta.
Yeah, they've got like hundreds mm-hmm. across the country. Yeah. A very big radio company moving into the digital age, as everybody has already, but they're also moving into the digital age and making strides in the podcast
they
sector.
They've got this up.
They did. David
they don't
Spade.
Know, they don't know what they've gotten
Yeah, they
themselves
have no idea what they've gotten themselves into, but we're sure going to give them a good ride one way or the other.
That's right.
This is the honeymoon period, right. But we'll check back in 6 months and let you know how things are going.
They still love it.
Yes, but I do want to thank Leah, our agent Matt, Leah over at Odyssey, Michael, Jordan, Everett, Matt, everyone who's been so wonderful, Melissa, all of the people at Odyssey that have been so wonderful, Matt, our agent, who has done a great job, and thanks to Dave and Trevor over at Advertisecast, who kept us around for probably a lot longer than we needed to be there. But you know, we grew up with them, so... Our nonage years were with them, and we
That's
do have
right.
to thank your nonage years.
You'll never forget your nonage years.
That's right. And like most families, it's probably a reason to go to therapy down the road, but for right now, we're saying our thank yous, our goodbyes, and our hellos. So, all right. So let's take a break. That's enough podcast business talk for one episode. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, boy!
Let's cut to the chase. We love you and we want to hear your sweet angelic voices asking us for advice. So give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. If you're not ready for that kind of commitment, which I understand, send us a text instead at 855-TCB-8383. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And this wouldn't be a TCB promo if I didn't tell you to go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, to watch all of our amazing video edits. You can also go to tcbpodcast.com to find everything we have ever put on the website. Let's listen to some sponsors, and then we are back on track, baby. Love you, bye.
This episode is sponsored in part by Prize Picks. Everybody out there in the podcast universe knows what a huge NFL fan I am and exactly how much I know about the sport. However, I'm getting into it, and I'll tell you why. Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. You don't have to be a professional football player or dating some famous singer to get in on the action. Prize Picks is allowing you to do it. And it's that time of year again, the big game right around the corner. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to turn every game-changing moment into 100x your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. I just jumped on the Prize Pick apps last week, and I'm telling you what, it's super easy to do. Prize Picks is a really simple way. I can make my picks and then submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Now, I don't want to go into detail about who I picked because I make my choices based on a complicated spreadsheet, and then I have Blue bark twice at the right answer. So do us a favor. Go to prizepicks.com/TCB and use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/TCB. Make sure you use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. They're giving you free money. So no matter who wins or loses this big Sunday, you have an opportunity to be part of the big game in a big way and possibly win a little moolah. Who's going to argue with that? Prizepicks.com/TCB. Use the code TCB and get a first deposit match of up to $100. Thanks, Prize Picks, for being a sponsor of the commercial break. Hey, Podcast Universe. I'm super excited to be talking about an old friend of mine, Jordan Harbinger, and his podcast, The Jordan Harbinger Show. You know that Chrissy and I don't do a lot of talking about other podcasts, but The Jordan Harbinger Show definitely deserves a mention, and here's why. Imagine the serious version of the commercial break, where you actually learn facts from actual experts and in-depth interviews. All the crazy, interesting, weird, and philosophical stuff that we find on the commercial break to have fun with, Jordan takes some of those same topics and he applies a degree of serious journalism to it, and he is an excellent interviewer, maybe one of the best in the business, in my opinion. We know for a fact that a lot of people who listen to the commercial break also listen to the Jordan Harbinger Show. So if you haven't yet taken a listen, go search the Jordan Harbinger podcast on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, or head over to his website, jordanharbinger.com. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. Jordan has been a longtime supporter of the show, and many people have written in and thanked me for turning them on to Jordan Harbinger, including one of our staff members who is like a Jordan Harbinger super fan. And to quote her, Jordan Harbinger is like the commercial break with actual facts and a lot less laughing. We think you're going to love the Jordan Harbinger Show, so go search on Apple, wherever you find your podcasts, or get started with those starter packs at jordanharbinger.com. And we want to thank Jordan for being a supporter of the commercial break. Hey, do you remember like a couple months ago we were talking about that guy with the song "I Am Rectangular"?
Oh, yes, and you got that
I
in
feel
my
it
head.
In my bones.
Got
I
it
am.
Back in my head.
I know, but he's still singing the same fucking song on Instagram. You know, I reached out to that guy because I thought, well, let's bring him on the show.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, you know, and I like him. I don't, he said yes. He was like, cool, whatever you want, just let me know.
Wasn't he going to be in Atlanta?
I think maybe he had flown to Atlanta. Whatever, but he agreed to be on the show, and I didn't follow up with him because. Because I don't. That's what I don't do. Because I have a meeting in 5 minutes ago. No other reason except that, like, the moment passed, right? The moment passed, and I thought to myself, okay, like, let's not torture this poor guy on 30 minutes of the commercial break. So he posted this Instagram story, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, and it is an insane story. All he usually does, and for those of you who don't know, we're talking about a guy on Instagram. Let me see if I can, I'll see if I can find his name, but he sang a song. And what he would do is he'd show up at a different location.
Like a different city.
Different city, an airplane, an airport, a bathroom. He'd show up
Times
and he'd be
Square.
Like, Times Square. It'd be like, I traveled 3,700 miles to sing this song to you, right? And then he'd lip sync his song, his one song that got like a little bit viral. And it went like this. I am rectangular. I feel it in my bones. I am rectangular. I have no holes. It's like, what? You have no holes? Everybody has holes, bro. But it was a pleasant song. It was like an earwig. It got stuck in your ear. And then he is like the singing CEO is what he claims, right? He's a musical artist and he's also a CEO of what? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets on and it's just him talking. And I was like, oh, that's weird. That's not his usual thing. So I stick around. It's about a 3 minute reel or video that he did on Instagram. And he explains, he says, listen, you know, I usually come on here with happiness and goodness, and I just want to spread a little cheer and joy with my music and all that other stuff. But I do want to share this serious story, something that happened to me and my family just recently.
Mm.
And he explains that him and his family traveled to Africa. And when they traveled to Africa, they decided, I forget which country they were in, and I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm not going to say it. He says they decide to go somewhere near the border, this beautiful place. They're going to drive up there for the day and come back, right? I think they were actually doing like some charity work or something. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go do this charity work, take a drive along the border, and come back. As they are driving.
Like the border of another country.
Country, yeah.
Or the border of like the continent?
No, the
coast.
No. Yeah, okay, border of a country. In the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And so he explains that as they're driving, they get stopped by some rebels, by some armed rebels.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And he says that he's with his daughters, and they're in this car, and they don't know what to do, so he complies, right? Because what else are you going to do?
Right.
Armed rebels show up, and you're in a strange country, you comply, mm-hmm. right? And just pray that for somehow, some way, you get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So these armed rebels then take them, they take the car, they start driving them around for hours and hours and hours, yelling at them, they're going to kill them, they're going to shoot them, you're going to die, blah, 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 blah.
That's awful.
Yeah. And he's like, it's all I can do to just keep my head about me and make sure that, you know, I do whatever I can to make sure that my family is safe.
Yeah.
And at one point, they force them to get out of the car and da, 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 da. And then they take
and sing the song.
And sing the song, I am rectangular.
Oh, sorry.
Which is funny, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's still alive, because they didn't ask him to sing the song.
Right.
I can't take it! So they take him around, and then they grab his ATM card, and they're taking out, you know, thousands of dollars across these ATMs. And finally, at some point, under the grace of God, you know, the universal energy, karma, whatever, they let them go unharmed, which is like the best part of that story. But he wanted to share that this had happened to him and his family, and that it was a really stressful and intense dramatic situation. So then he goes on the H3 podcast. So now my thought was, okay, now I need to reach out to him, because now he's got, like, let's hear this story in its full, without brevity. Let's hear the full thing. But H3 podcast gets to him sooner, and they're probably the better podcast to do this anyway. So, okay. So he puts out the H3 podcast, and he explains the whole story. How fucking crazy is that? I mean, how insane. Have you ever been traveling in a strange country when something insane happened and you didn't know what to do?
No. So I don't want that to happen.
I'm not talking about kidnapping, just like some kind of event where you were like, oh shit, you know, I'm in a strange land. I'm in a foreign land. I don't know what to do.
I'm trying to think. No.
No.
I've had good experiences.
Okay, that's
knock,
good.
Knock, knock. That being said, I'm going to Jamaica in a few weeks, and they just got upgraded to level three.
As did, what was it? Bahamas. Nassau. Bahamas.
Well, they got upgraded to two.
Well, I thought they had like 18 murders in the Capitol in the last 3 months
or something. Something's going down, yeah.
So when Astrid and I were in France, I already told the story that we were there. We left the day before the Bataclan shootings,
right,
and that we were
right.
in that part of Paris, and that we had visited one of the cafes where some of the shooting had gone down. And that was a pretty like surreal experience. And my heart goes out to anyone that was affected by that tragedy. I'm just sharing the story that I was there. I was close. It felt real. It felt intense when I was watching it on TV. But there was another part of our trip to Paris that I haven't shared. When Astrid and I got there, when Astrid and I were separated in the sense that we were long distance.
Right.
Astrid was living in Switzerland, and she knew that I was going to come to Switzerland, and then we were going to travel down to Paris. So mm-hmm. she said, let me take care of it. You know, give me your credit card information. I'll take care of arranging everything, right? Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, we talked.
She's really good at that.
Really good at that. Very organized. She'll find a good place. So Astrid picks the Hyatt La Congrère, which means at the Congress, right? The French Congress, the Parisian Congress, which is right close to the Eiffel Tower. It's like within a mile and mile and a half of the Eiffel Tower. And she picks a room where we can have a view of the Eiffel Tower.
So romantic.
At the Hyatt. It is like, I am just thinking to myself, the Hyatt, I'm sure we can't go wrong. We're going to have a view of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
How better to, what a better room to be in when you're in Paris. So we take a train, we get to the train station, we take a cab, we're pulling up to the Hyatt. And the Hyatt is a big round building sitting on the back of the congressional building there. huge round building, big old hotel, big old, you know, conference hotel. The lobby is grand. It's huge. It's like three football fields. This is an incredible lobby that you walk into. And I am just so excited because I like a good hotel, right?
I'm like,
oh, look at this. Look at us. You know, there's the Eiffel Tower.
We're in love.
Yes.
We're in
the Here's the Le Combray. Yeah.
Huge lobby. At the Hyatt. Astrid, you may expect this for these kinds of things for the rest of your life.
Yes. Astrid, you can expect this for the next 2 weeks.
I gotta get some cocaine. It's driving me crazy.
And we walk in, we get there, the lady checks us in. How you doing? Welcome. Where you from? Congratulations. Ever been here? Here's all the things. You 7th floor this, 12th floor that, you know, rooftop bar. You're in good hands here. It is a circular hotel. It's, you know, built like a circle, right?
Like the Westin down here in Atlanta.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we go to the elevators, and the first thing that you notice is that the elevators maybe have not been updated since 1972. They are tiny. They are tiny, and they are
That's
old.
Europe, though, I feel
in
like.
General,
there's a lot
in
of
general,
older
yes.
buildings.
Yes, and the elevators are known to be very small, as are sometimes the rooms over there, because it's just they're not American. They don't like everything big and bad. They just need a bed and a toilet, right?
People used to be smaller, too.
Those French people are small. They don't need all the room that we do. So we go up to whatever floor, we get out, and, you know, it's a little elevator area in the middle, and then you literally can walk in a circle around the entire thing in the hallway. So they open this room, there's a guy there to show us it, and when they open it up, it's like, da-da-da-da! It is two beds, two tiny little beds, a tiny little room, a tiny little window, a tiny little bathroom. There is bloodstains on the floor. And I'm not even kidding about this. It looks like bloodstains on the floor. The carpet is gross. It smells badly like cigarette smoke because I'm sure the people smoked in there for years and years and years. The ceilings are like, you know, 7'3". So you're like, it feels like you're being enclosed in a little box. Now, I know I'm being a little bratty about this, but that's just me. I'm a little bratty about some of these things. So I open the window, right? It's this tiny little window. And yes, you can see the Eiffel Tower. If you open the window and twist your head outside of it a little bit, we're like on the opposite side of it. So you can see it, and there is a view, but it is not exactly the view we were thinking it was going to be.
It's not just right in the middle, right there.
No, ma'am.
In front of you.
No, ma'am. You would really have to strain and stress to see the Eiffel Tower. And
it's
a partial view. And then the daytime, okay, I can kind of see it. And at nighttime, you can see a little better because it's all lit up. But anyway, so instantaneously, And you got to also understand is that Astrid and I are very much in love. I very much want to marry this woman, and I very much want to impress her on this trip to Paris. Mm-hmm. So instantaneously, I'm a little hussy fussy, right? I'm smoking cigarettes, I think, at the time. And
you went with the room then. Yeah, I need a cig right now.
I need a smoky treat right now. So I'm instantaneously a little bit fussy. And she goes, oh, you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit nicer. And I said, hey, listen, don't worry. You know, how would you know? The pictures look nice. It was an Eiffel Tower view. How would you know? No one would know. It's okay. We're not going to get all fluffed about this. It's going to be a great vacation. We're going to take it in stride. We're just here to sleep. That's it. La, la, la. I'm going to go downstairs and smoke a cigarette. And I am immediately going to talk to the manager is what I'm really thinking.
Right.
I'm not going down to smoke a cigarette. I'm going to talk to the manager. Uh-huh. Not to be an American brat, but to see if I can get a different room. And I'll pay for it. I don't care. I'm going to give him the Brian look, which Astrid calls it the Brian look, right? Where I magically make things happen by going, could you? I mean, that'd be really great of you.
Please.
I mean, I don't want to put you out or anything, but if you might, right? You get more flies with honey.
If you insist.
Yeah, if you insist on upgrading me to a suite for no money, then I insist on telling you how wonderful you are, right?
Yes.
So I go down. I say, hey, listen, ma'am. Then I go back to the same lady. I say, ma'am, I love your hotel. It's super great. Those elevators, I mean, what a ride. And
what a ride.
How soft and sweet. I was really happy that we could fit four of us in that tiny little elevator. I was imagining that there'd be a little bit more room. I was wondering if there was any way that you could find a suite for us or a junior suite or something along those lines. And listen, I'd really be happy to pay. I just didn't think it was going to be this small. And I also was hoping that we could get the beds together.
Right.
Right? That was the main thing. Yeah. I was hoping we get the beds together. Oh, no problem, Mr. Green. She calls over the manager. The manager says, I don't want you to have a bad time when you're here, Mr. Green. This is your first time in Paris. You got to, you know, and give him the Brian look. And lo and behold, we've got a club level suite, junior suite. We'd be happy to give it to you. No additional charge. That's for you, for your first time to Paris. Hope you come back.
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay, great. So I go back upstairs, do my smoky treat, go back upstairs, open the door, and I say, Astrid, pack the bags.
Exactly.
We're moving on up, right? And she goes, what did you do? And I go, I just gave him the Brian look. Don't worry about it. It's all good. We're just going to go to a little bit of a bigger room. It's at least the beds together so we can, you know, consummate this relationship.
They insisted.
No extra charge, you know? She goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's not your fault. How would you not? Like, I'm not worried. I'm not fluffed at you.
Happens.
I'm just, the hotel is different than we thought it was going to be. Let's get that junior suite. Guy comes up. Takes our bags. We go up a couple floors. We're on the club level. Great. Wonderful. He opens the door. Whoop.
Oh, no.
A junior suite is two of the rooms that we just left with a door in the middle that you have to open.
That's a connected room.
It's a connected room. But the other connected room has one couch, additional bloodstains, and a television and a bathroom.
Oh, it was the suite because then you could lounge the living room
But
area.
I don't need a lounge area.
No.
I need two beds together.
Exactly,
and I need to be with the girl that I'm here to stay with, right? That's what I would like. I don't need a room to get away from her. I need a room to be with her. I mean, come on, guys. So now I'm like, okay, all right, Brian, you really got to calm down, right? And the view is a little bit better in the second room, So I'm like, okay, Brian.
At least there's that.
There's that. So we go out, we go out, we leave the hotel, we come back after we have some dinner and we walk around Paris for a couple of hours. And Astrid has gotten some hair dye so she can color her hair. So because I guess in Switzerland where she lived, it was a trip to go get the hair dye. So she decided I'll buy it here and I'll do it here. So I look good. Right. And we're going to. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take pictures.
So, so we go up into the hotel room. She's like, I'm going to dye my hair. And I'm like, great. I'm going to go down for a smoky treat and talk to the fucking manager. That's what I'm going to do. I can't get it out of my head. Right. I'm so.
You're
really starting to gear up. Mm-hmm. This grinds my gears. So I go down and I say, hey, mon frère, I don't mean to be a bother or a pest.
Mon frère.
Okay. Concierge Larry. I don't mean to be a pain in your butt, but I do have to say that I wish that we had like a suite, like a suite in one room. But, you know, there's many happy things going on.
And the key word being, too, do you have a king size bed?
That's what I
somewhere.
Said. I said, we still have this problem.
We could go back to a smaller room.
You can put me downstairs on the first floor next to the janitor's closet if we could just have a bed together and a little bit of a view toward the Eiffel Tower. I would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And he says, listen, the only other thing that we have is like, you know, presidential type suites, what they would call presidential type suites. And they are all taken for because the Congress is in session, the conference is in session, whatever. And I was like, oh, okay.
Many
presidents are here. We've got many presidents taking up our many presidential suites. And I'm thinking to myself at this point, well, you know, okay. All right. So this is what I do. I walk away. I'm in the same lobby. There's almost no one in this lobby. There's like five or six people milling around, a couple people behind the desk. It's this huge lobby. And I go far enough so that they can't hear me. And I get on the phone, right? And I get on the phone with Travelocity. I call their phone
number. Travelocity.
Good old Travelocity. They have a phone number and you can call it. And so
are they still around?
What's that?
Are they still around?
Oh, yeah. I just booked something on Travelocity the other day.
Okay.
I hope I can pay for it, but I just booked something on Travelocity the other day.
You don't have to pay until you check in. Great.
Yeah,
perfect.
Great. Perfect. Can I pay after I check out? Like a couple days after?
Yeah. I just need a few days.
Yeah. I just need a couple days to pay you back. It's all good. Don't worry about it. I'm good for it.
Right.
You can use this credit card number, but don't try it right now. Yeah. And if they call asking to talk to me, tell them that I'm not available. So I'm behind, you know, this like stanchion of couches.
Picturing behind like a plant.
I'm behind some planters and some couches, right? Yeah. I'm not like hiding, but I'm far enough away so that they can't hear what I'm saying. So I get on the phone with Travelocity and I say, listen, I know this is kind of weird, but I'm in a strange country and I really don't know what I'm talking about. And so I need to find a hotel in Paris that is close to the Arc or something, you know, in this local area that we're in. I need something.
Yeah, because Paris is kind of situated by different neighborhoods.
Yeah, by different neighborhoods. Too. You don't want to be in the wrong one.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It's like every place. I haven't been to Paris. Every big city in the world. You don't want to be in the wrong neighborhood.
Well, that's true. Right?
That's just like, that's just Paris. It's true. Every city.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was some upheaval going on. I just wanted to be mindful of where we were staying. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to be mindful that we didn't have a car and we needed to walk or be right. able to get to whatever it is we had planned to do. So I get on the phone with this lady. I will never forget her name, Stacy. Stacy is like, listen, I'm not a Parisian expert, right? I don't know. But my best friend just got back from Paris. And she stayed there for like 2 weeks and she had the best time. Let me text her. And I'm like, holy shit, really? You're
really
going
nice.
To text this girl and ask her on my behalf? I'm giving her the Brian look hard over the phone, and apparently it's making its way over there.
Yeah.
Because she is like, I will text my friend and I will ask her if she knows of any place. Da, 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 yada, yada, yada. This back and forth, back and forth, back
Amazing.
And forth. And so finally she says, listen, my friend stayed at this hotel, but she walked to have cocktails at this other hotel, and sounds like this one fits the bill. It's newer. The rooms are bigger. They have king size. They have a courtyard you can overlook.
Oh,
they have free breakfast.
Sounds lovely.
It sounds lovely. And she's like, and it's in walking distance to the Arc. You can go to the Arc.
You have it all.
Yeah, the Arc or the Champs-Élysées. You're mm-hmm. right there in the middle of it all, right? You can. It's and she goes, and I found it, and we have it on here, and I could book it right now for you. Blah, blah, blah.
Is it a smoking room?
Is it a smoking room? That's exactly. They're all smoking rooms in Paris, right. I think. I mean, some of them are, right? So, but I don't want to smoke in the room.
No, I'm kidding.
So, Stacy books this room for me, and I am so very excited that she has done this. She's booked a room from
That's
this time
like
to this time.
It's above and beyond service. I love hearing stories
it
like that.
It is incredible, mm-hmm. and I will always be in debt to this particular person. Stacy, wherever you are at the Travelocity family, I hope you're still there. You did an amazing job. I actually wrote a letter to Travelocity about this, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Because I thought it was just extraordinary how she helped me out when I had no clue where I was or what I needed to do. She found me a hotel that fit the bill in a safe neighborhood because she knew that this trip was important to me and my relationship. Because I told her the story because that's the Brian look.
You
got
to get
him emotionally invested in what you're doing. Yeah, if you just say, I need a hotel, bitch.
Right.
You know, they're going to be like, okay, dick. You know, here's a Motel 6 and the, you know, Quadrant 7 where you're going to get,
at the airport.
At the airport. right next to the runway, you son of a bitch. Okay, so now we've got that hotel booked, but we have a problem. We've got an additional 10 days at the Hyatt, and we're locked in. We've already checked in. So what is there? What shall we do? Well, I'll tell you right after this break.
Oh, man.
Are you mindlessly scrolling Instagram right now? How about throwing us a follow at The Commercial Break and also at TCB Podcast on TikTok? Check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, to find absolutely everything you could ever want to know about us. And if you simply can't stay away, call us and leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Or you can text us at 855-TCB-8383. While you're contemplating divulging your life dramas to us, have a listen to our sponsors. You know you love me. XOXO Gossip Girl.
Okay. So now we've got the Hotel Collectionnaire booked for the rest of our trip. King size.
You're double booked now.
Club level. I'm double booked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pay, you know, $3,000 here and $4,000 there, whatever it was. I'm like, okay, I got a problem now. I got a problem with my checkbook. I got a problem with this credit card. I don't think it's got that kind of limit on it. And so I gather myself, I go up, and I do the only thing that an honest, hardworking American would do. I lie.
Yeah. Yep.
I say, listen, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to go back to the United States. There's problems at home, and I don't know what to do, and I got to travel back to the United States. I'm happy to talk to your manager and make a deal where I pay for a certain amount of nights because I know that I booked this a long time ago, and then maybe you could not charge me for every single night, mm-hmm. right? Is there something that can be done? We're going to, and I told her, but most of the truth, I said, we're going to move to another hotel until we make a decision about whether or not we need to go back or not, just for the sake of being in a more convenient area. Yeah, more comfortable. And listen, I think she understood,
yeah.
right? She understood. He just came up here and he wants a king size. We don't have it. What are we going to do? Right? Like, two small beds together. Maybe that's not his thing. Okay. And it's not like when you push the two small beds together, it comes together as a nice, neat little king.
No.
It comes together as a small queen, and the headboards are sideways, right? They fall off the wall. It's like, it's just not the most convenient thing in the world. And a lot of hotels in Europe will do this. They'll push them together and put a mattress top on uh-huh. it. But that has not happened at this hotel. So I'm like, fuck me. So she says, she gets the manager over, and they're all talking in some, in the back.
French.
In French.
In some language.
Some language that I don't understand in Paris. And the lady comes back, the manager comes back, and she says, Mr. Green, we want you to have a good time. We hope you come back. We know that this didn't fit your needs this time, and I hope everything's back okay at home. Where are you going next? What's the next hotel? And I said, I'm going to go to the Lake Collectionnaire. And she says, it's a beautiful hotel. It's a wonderful hotel. I know it well. And she goes, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to charge you for any of the nights if you leave tomorrow by 10 a.m. And I was like, what? And she's like, I'm going to refund all your money. And I'm sorry, it just didn't work out this time. Maybe, I think we're getting a renovation soon, and hopefully you'll come back at a future trip. And I was like, wow, okay, all right. I like the style.
If you insist.
Insist. Now we're talking, it's 1 o'clock in the morning now. I've been gone for a full hour. Astrid's up there dyeing her hair, texting me furiously. Right. And I'm just not responding because I'm on the phone with everybody. Yeah, are you okay? Is everything okay? You went down for a smoke 2 hours ago. So I come running upstairs like a beam of sunshine. I break open the door and I go, honey, pack your bags. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., we're going to the Lake Collectionnaire. And she's like, what? And I'm like, babe, I don't even want to get into the story, but I'm telling you what, I gave him the Brian look hard.
I worked a little magic.
Little jizzy drizzle. like Jizzy Jeff would do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's good at that stuff too. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, listen, babe, we're going to go to another hotel. I just think it would be better for our trip. We're here for 10 days. Just if we can sleep together, right? At least we can be together in the same bed without having to move the furniture. And so she says, yes, honey, okay. And she looks worried. And I'm like, but what's wrong? I thought that would be a good news. She's like, that's really good news, but there's bad news. And I was like, what's the bad news? And she's like, I dyed my hair on the white marble not coming out.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And she's like, it's not coming out. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not coming out?
She's like,
I spilled the dye and it's not coming off of the marble. It's soaked into the marble. It's not coming out. And I go in there. And it looks like literally like my daughter had split her head open and poured blood all over this, and it won't come out. And so now I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh shit, now we're getting charged for the marble.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
For the whole renovation of the room now.
Yes. Fast forward. Now it's 2 or 3 in the morning and I have to go downstairs and I have to say, listen, I'm really sorry, but my wife was dyeing her hair.
You've been up and
yes,
down.
Yes, I know.
Elevator.
I'm now friends. I've been up and down the elevator that goes 2 miles per hour, and we're like on the 38th floor. So I spend 30 minutes getting up and down each time. And that's if you can get the elevator. So I'm like, I'm really sorry about this. I swear to God, even though I didn't stay there and it wasn't my favorite hotel in the world, these people could not have been nicer. They were like, don't worry about it. And I'm like, it's
so
not
nice.
Coming out. Do you have any cleaning solution or something? I can try and get it out.
They probably had.
She was like, listen, we have some kind of magic something that can get that out. Don't worry about it. There's been worse. We've had all. I said, yeah, I know. I see it on the floor.
Did you see how clean our ribs were?
Did you see the blood stains on the floor? We did a great job with that.
Right. And
we covered it up with piss and vinegar. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay. All right. 10 a.m. We get out. We go to the Lake Collectionnaire. It's just the most amazing hotel.
Aww.
It's the most beautiful, shining, amazing hotel. This is all coming back to what happened that made me uncomfortable in Paris.
Okay.
And I say this because I thought it was a good story to tell while I was like piggy fronting off of the story.
Yes.
So that night, Astrid and I decide, so we check in, we get settled. Everything's great. We're on the club level. We can go to this like little club area and it's overlooking the Parisian streets. It's just beautiful. Everything's just beautiful in this hotel. It's lovely.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. And Astrid too. And so at night we get dressed up. We're ready to go. We're going to go hit the town. We're going to go find a place near the
Paris.
Champ. Paris, the lights, the city, the smells, lovely. It's
city
incredible.
Of love,
it's
city
amazing.
Of lights.
Yes, it's amazing. Loved Paris. So we get up, we go to take a, we ask the guy, hey, where, you know, where's this, how can we get to this nice restaurant? Yeah, take, go this way, take a left, you know, it's a couple blocks down the street, you're going to love it. Okay, so we start walking, and about 50 feet past the hotel is a one of those green crosses signifying that there's a pharmacy back there or a medical facility.
Pharmacia.
Yeah, pharmacia. That's in Spain. But
right.
Les pharmacies? I don't know.
Okay.
But those green signs are everywhere in Europe, and they mean some kind of medical attention be gotten there, right? Or a pharmacy or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like the universal sign for medical care there or medicine.
The green cross.
The green cross.
Okay.
The lit up green cross, right? And so we're walking, and I just notice the pharmacy. I notice this man walking out of the pharmacy, medical place, whatever it is. He's walking out. And he's an older gentleman, but he's spry. He's walking out. And I'm talking to Astrid, and I kind of got my eye on him because he's crossing in front of us. Uh-huh. So I'm, you know, you're doing that, you're judging that thing. Should I slow down? Should I speed
right.
up? Are we going to crash into each other? What's going on? And he walks toward the street, and he walks in between two cars. And as he walks in between two cars, he just goes down.
Oh.
He just goes down, but he didn't trip. He just goes down. He
just passed out.
He's got a long coat on. It's a little chilly. He just, boom,
oh,
goes down, hits his head. And I'm like, what just happened? So I run a couple steps ahead, right? There was also a guy standing on a wall smoking a cigarette. He also comes. He doesn't speak a lick of English. I don't speak a lick of French. Astrid's got some French in her vocabulary, but Astrid's kind of freaking out because of what just happened.
Right, it's shocking.
Yeah. And so I turn the guy over, me and this other guy, turn the guy over, and he is D-E-A-D. He is dead.
What?
He is not breathing. He is not okay. Something has happened. He has had a major heart attack right there. He fell out. It was amazing how quickly this happened. He was walking perfectly normal, and then the next moment, he is not, because the guy put his hands on the guy's neck.
Yeah.
And then I was looking for breathing, right? Mm-hmm. None of that was happening. The guy was like, whatever he's saying. And so I run into the pharmacy. Because I don't know what number to call emergency-wise in France either. I don't know. Got 999-222-777. I'm not really sure, right? So I run. Green cross. Okay, let me run in there. So I run in there. There's two guys in lab coats, right, standing around kind of doing whatever. I don't know if it's a pharmacy or an emergency care or a doctor or whatever. And I'm like, someone passed out there. Someone had a heart attack, you know, and I'm going like this. And they're like, what was that? You know, and I'm like, I'm trying
come
to communicate.
With me. Come with
yeah,
me.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah. come. I go like this, heart attack, man outside, you know? And they're like befuddled because they don't understand a fucking word I'm saying. And I'm like, oh shit, right? What do I do? So now I go and I open the door and I'm like, guy outside, medicine needs help,
yeah.
right? So finally one of them kind of caught on that like something was happening and he needed to be out there.
Yeah.
So he runs out there. And as soon as he gets down with the guy, then he is saying in French, and we know this because Astrid kind of translated a little bit, someone call emergency services,
like
right?
The
we need an ambulance, mm-hmm. ambulancia, whatever it is. Call him. Well, I don't know. I don't know who to call. I don't know how to call it.
No.
So I'm kind of looking. Now there's a couple people around, right? I'm kind of looking around like, you call?
Yeah, can you call?
Yeah, and they're all like, what are you talking about? What do you want me to do? Can you call? Chrissy, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
This poor man on the ground, I didn't know what to do. I know how to give CPR, but there's lots of people around him right now, and I don't know if CPR is the appropriate thing to do because I can't understand what they're saying. I don't know if he's had a heart attack, if he's having trouble breathing, if he needs CPR, does he need the paddles? I don't know. Where are the paddles? Where's the AED? I have no fuck. I don't even know how to call fucking
emergency
services.
Why was everybody looking to you to...
They
to
weren't
do something.
Well because I'm the big strong American. I'm the cowboy.
Yeah, the Brian
I'm John
look.
Fucking Wayne. Yeah, I gave him the Brian look. Unfortunately, the guy's dead. What do you want me to do? I can't work that kind of magic. I get you a free hotel room, but I can't get you back to life. I can't do that. I was so freaked out, and I felt absolutely helpless in this moment.
Yeah.
This poor bastard fell out in front of me. Me and Astrid and another human being are the only three that witnessed what happened. And I cannot communicate at all what's going on
mm-hmm.
to anybody. And including, I don't even know how to call for help.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky to get those two guys in lab coats out the door because they were literally confused at what I was saying. They were like, what is he talking? Like, they literally had their hands up in the air. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is a terrifying experience. And
your adrenaline's just pumping and the whole thing.
You cannot even imagine how high I was, but not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Because in America, or in an English-speaking country, or in Spain, where I could speak some Spanish or understand Spanish, I would have at least been able to help take action. But in this case, I was paralyzed by the fact that I was in a strange land with strangers, and we didn't understand each other.
Yeah, and you didn't know how to call for help.
So I bring this back to Sean's... Oh, Sean is his name. I bring this back to Sean's music. Sean's kidnapping story. How terrifying. I was a guy who witnessed something happening, trying to help someone where there was no violence, no threat of violence, nothing like that was going on, right? I only for a brief moment did I think maybe this guy has gotten shot and we did not hear it and something like that. But it quickly became apparent that there was no blood coming out of anywhere except for his head where he hit his head.
Yeah.
And that was not a gunshot, right? I knew that immediately. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have some strangers screaming and yelling at you. And you could pretty much infer that what they wanted to do was not nice. And you have no
terrifying idea.
There's no one to call. There's no help. You don't even understand the language.
Uh-uh.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So that's this has been a nice episode of the commercial break.
I was about to say.
There's no comedy to this.
That's
I'm just sharing. I watched this guy.
Maybe you listeners can share your terrifying stories.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a story or two, we'd love to hear it. Oh yeah, you know that's a good like content idea. Tell me your most terrifying story when you felt helpless. Internationally, mm-hmm. right? You were traveling internationally, something happened, and you had no idea what to do because it wasn't your home turf. You mm-hmm. didn't understand. You don't have to be from the United States of America to tell me the story either. You can be from another country in the United States of America and being terrified.
We have some listeners over in Great Britain.
We got a lot of listeners in a lot of places.
Yeah,
Great
like
Britain,
to hear from
Canada,
that.
Yeah, India, because we had mm-hmm. Veer on and we picked mm-hmm. up quite a few Indian listeners, actually.
Welcome.
What's that?
Welcome.
Welcome to you. Hello. Welcome. 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 Who was that? That was the alien light language girl too, wasn't it?
Was she
yeah, that
welcome?
Was the girl who said welcome like 30 times in the first minute and a half of her video.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome. Anyway, Chrissy, it was like a really
what happened?
Kind of weird
Do
moment.
You know?
The ambulance came.
Okay.
And they took him away very quickly. And I can only assume.
And you and Astrid skipped on down the street towards your restaurant reservation.
We had a lovely dinner. Actually, I think we missed the reservation. And so we ended up going to like somewhere on the Champs-Élysées, like some patio on the Champs,
right.
and having a way overpriced meal
sure.
that wasn't all that great.
But. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was all you could talk about. At the dinner.
I tried to keep it low key because Astrid's not into that kind of stuff. Like, I think that really freaks her out, right? So I tried not to like harp on it. But I'll tell you what, I wasn't very hungry because I had a ton of adrenaline just coursing through me. I just, that was.
I'll have a cafe.
Yeah. do you have any marmalade? Marmalade. That's good for adrenaline, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Milk.
That's right. I'll take one of those eclairs, though. I'd eat those anytime.
A croissant.
Oh, croissant.
Croissant.
A croissant with Nutella.
Mm.
That's what you want. Croissant with
decadent.
Nutella. Or a, what do they call those? The pancakes?
Crepe.
Crepe. A crepe with Nutella. Pancakes. Yep. A crepe with Nutella. That is the jam. Crepe, Nutella, strawberries.
I've got to go. It's on my list to go.
You got to go to Paris.
But then every time I think about going to Europe, I just want to get back to Italy.
Italy's beautiful, no doubt about it. But Paris is a...
I'm thinking about going to Norway. I'll tell you more about that later.
Okay. Well, then. You and Jizzy Jeff?
Yeah.
Bringing your naked... your naked sides of attraction
exactly.
over to Norway.
Exactly.
I think it's just like readily accepted that people are going to be naked in Norway.
Yeah.
This is like a naked plunging and diving and stuff like that.
That's what we're planning on.
All right. Listen, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about Chrissy and I, all the show notes, all the audio, all the video right there, one location. You can also get your free piggy fronting sticker. Hit the contact us button.
I have seen it and you're going to love it.
You're going to love it. The free piggy fronting sticker at the contact us button. Give us your physical address. 626 ask TCB the number 3. That's 1-626 ask TCB and the number 3. Text us comments, questions, content ideas. Ask Brian's mom. Ask for our advice. Leave us a voicemail if you're
anything
that brave. Anything, just however you want to communicate with us. Add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Thanks, Dr. Phil. No problem, Brian. This is going to be a changing day in your life. All right, Chrissy, I think that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Listen to us on Odyssey. Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say, goodbye. You like restaurants?